Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Ms. America, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 17th of June, Anno Domini 2017, and you... Oh, you lucky people. You're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Mark Murphy.
And in 5 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose. Catch off your shoes. Don't get the blues. Here comes the news. Wait a minute, you say to yourself. Who's this Mark Murphy? Where did he come from? Well, Mark, or Mr. Murphy, as he insists we call him. Because he's that kind of uptight guy. Right. Mark is the founder and president of Greenlight Networks. They are the people who are bringing fiber to the home. I've been a thrilled and happy customer since January of 2015. So 2.5 years. And what?
It's been a while.
It's been a while. And it's amazing. And he's here not to specifically talk about Greenlight and that stuff. He's mostly here to talk about things like networking and what you get and net neutrality and getting good speed and things like that, because we're not doing an ad for Greenlight here today. But so if you have a call, if you have a question, call. Then you can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415. And those of you who are listening to this in the podcast, well, you missed it. That's the way that works. I do have an interesting bit of news. Verizon is supporting a controversial rule that would help network operators deploy fiber much more quickly by giving them faster access to utility poles. The so-called one-touch make-ready rule lets ISPs make all of the necessary wire adjustments on utility poles themselves instead of having to wait for other providers like AT&T and Comcast to send the work crews to move their own wires. Some cities pass their own one-touch make-ready rules in order to help Google Fiber compete against incumbents, and not just Google Fiber, but others like, off the top of my head, Greenlight. When Nashville passed such a rule, it was sued by Comcast and AT&T. When Louisville passed a similar rule, it was sued by AT&T and Charter. Incumbent broadband providers usually think alike when it comes to regulation and competition, but Verizon, which is planning to deploy a lot of fiber to support its wireless network, has asked the Federal Communications Commission to allow one-touch make-ready in states that follow FCC pole attachment processes. Whatever those are. Verizon outlined its support the other day in a blog post and an FCC filing. Verizon notes that it is in a unique position as one of the few broadband providers with experience both as a pole owner and as a wireline and wireless attacher to other people's poles. Under the current system, a new attacher must contact the pole owner to get permission to attach, wait for a survey, which is a physical looking at the pole, which, like, they don't know what a pole looks like. Then wait some more as each existing attacher moves or adjusts its attachment, which is a process called make ready, literally make the pole ready for the new attachment. Right now, this often proceeds sequentially with multiple reviews and truck rolls, that is to say, trucks going out for each of the providers already attached to the pole. So in our case, that's mainly Frontier and now Spectrum, right? So...
Right, in Rochester, Frontier and RG&E generally jointly own the poles together.
Oh, right. And so it can take 6 months to a year and piles of paperwork. Mark's already grinding his teeth. To get a new attachment approved and placed on a pole. Verizon's proposed solution is for the FCC to authorize one-touch make-ready as an alternative to existing pole attachment processes. We suggest that new attachers should have the option of using pre-approved, licensed, and insured contractors to... Man, there's going to be a rush for those licenses. approved contractors to coordinate with all of the providers already attached to the pole and do all of the work to add a new attachment all at one time, Verizon wrote. Instead of the currently ungainly process, there would be one truck roll to make all of the adjustments to existing attachments and to add the new attachment. Mark has his eyes closed in ecstasy at this. Just the idea has made him a happy man. The FCC would require the use of qualified licensed contractors who are approved by the pole owners in order to satisfy safety concerns. The FCC could also leave the current process intact for network builders who do not wish to take on the responsibility for conducting an engineering survey, estimating the necessary make-ready work, and doing one-touch make-ready through an approved contractor. So, Mark, I'm sure you can talk about all of that, but before you do that, let me mention that we have a poll of the week at soundbites.org. That is bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. And the question is, how fast is your home internet connection really? And the choice is, yeah, sure, because the camera's not on you this week.
You got that right. It's called good planning.
The choices are 1 gigabit per second or more, 500 megabits to a gigabit, 250 megabits to 500 megabits, 100 megabits to 250 megabits, 50 to 100, 10 to 50, and under 10 megabits. And so far we've got...
You didn't put in snail crawl.
Well, that's under 10 megabits. So far 26 people have answered the poll, and so far the big winner is 50 to 100 megabits. I'm higher. Anyway,
you choke.
And you're lower. Anyway, you can also vent your frustration, as several people already have in the forums. If you go down on the right under fascinating under fascinating stuff, the first choice is the forums. And the second forum down is the poll discussion. And at the moment, at least, the number one item is 17 June 17. How fast is your home internet connection? We have 10 posts, which is as much as the next three posts combined. And I'm sure we're not done yet. But without further ado, let's let us introduce. And did I mention you can give us a call? 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. And I should introduce again our guest, Mr. Mark Murphy, who is the chief cook and bottle washer. I'm sorry, the founder and president of Greenlight Networks. Mark, it is a joy to have you back here.
Well, thanks for bringing me back, guys. I look forward to our last time together, and you know, you've all been great advocates for what we're doing, and I appreciate that.
Well, we're geeks, and geeks cannot have fast enough internet. We were talking before the show, and I said to Mark that I wanted to thank him for my speed. It's 100 megabits is what I'm paying for every month, and it's rock solid. He said, "Is that fast enough?" And I said, no, of course it's not fast enough. It's never fast enough. If I had gigabit, it wouldn't be fast enough. I'm a geek. But I will say that when you can start a Netflix program and the little rolly thing goes 1%, 2%, 86%, and the movie starts, literally, it's pretty good. And at the same time, my wife was watching a different movie, and my daughter was in her room Skyping with somebody, and... Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Happy to help.
Thank you. And it's wonderful. But so, Mark, tell me how realistic that news story was about the polls. Do you have that issue?
Yeah. I mean, I would say so my guess is we'll take a couple calls today with people wondering why we're not in their neighborhood yet. And without a doubt, it kind of comes down to, like every other business, time and money. And in our case, pole attachment is probably the most challenging and difficult process that we've got to undertake. One is, as you said in that story, it's very time-consuming. It can take, 6 months, 12 months longer. New York State actually issued a pole order back in 2004 that's helped a lot of folks like us because it basically puts a stopwatch to multiple parts of the process. So our remedy in all those cases is, If the pole owners don't meet their time frames, we actually have the ability to go ahead and attach on a temporary basis until they can go do what they want to do. So
nice.
In some cases, it's taken us years to get those licenses back, believe it or not. And obviously, we've got customer demand, and the state really looked ahead and said, it's really important that service providers can go serve customers and do it in a timely way, because if we've got to wait years and years and years to get access to these poles, those customers are going to make other choices, and that becomes anti-competitive for us. In the case of Verizon, I think they're uniquely positioned because they're trying to attach a bunch of small cells to the poles, and that's becoming a very hot issue. So they're looking at the bigger picture, where they may not be as concerned about, for instance, upstate New York as they are about right. Manhattan or some of the or what they're doing in Boston. And the ability for them is they know to be able to, you know, use a contractor. And the reality is we're all using generally the same contractors for most of our work. So it's not like it's a
yeah, you're not just grabbing some guy with a rusty set of pliers and a wire in his truck.
Because, you know, the contractor part of the business is pretty expensive. They've got to get these big line trucks, and they've got to have qualified people on them. Because there really are safety issues
right.
for, you know, when it comes down to you're working in the secondary and primary electric space, and you don't want to have people get hurt. So these are highly qualified contractors that are available here and in a bunch of other markets. So I think it would be, you know, the one-touch process, and Google, I think, was probably the most vocal about that in the areas that you named. And I think it is something that would make sense. I think it's good for everybody because, frankly, the phone and the power companies, they're not making money doing this process. It's kind of a nuisance for them. And, you know, certainly if they're going to allocate capital or resources, they'd rather do it where they're going to get revenue back as opposed to enabling a competitor.
Yeah. One thing, though, I got to point out, though, that was mentioned before when he gave another talk on TV was, and this is great for you, and actually Rochester, with his business and it growing, also, as his businesses grows as far as employees. So that means he's putting more folks on the books
right.
as far as jobs and everything else, folks. And if you've only got a small crew, you know, like anything else, you can only service so many folks until he can, you know, get ramp that up and get more folks on board, qualified people, like he said, to, you know, as employees. It's a win-win for Rochester, but it's just going to take time. And it just doesn't happen overnight because you got to do this slowly. And you, as you get approved, you're going to, as you pointed out before, slowly ramp that up. And that's great. I mean,
right.
it's a win all the way
it's
around.
Win-win-win.
One of the things I read once about these approval lists where you have to get a list of people to approve your job, the approval list was in the order of vacations.
Oh, yeah.
So the first guy signs off on your approval, sends it to the second guy who just went on a two-week vacation. And they come back from vacation and give it to the third guy who just went on a two-week vacation.
We yes, that happened exactly like that to me when
maybe that's where
Chase.
I heard it.
Right, right. Maybe the president of Chase comes into my office one day and says, "Where the hell's my new computer?" I said, "You want to know where your computer is? Follow me." And we went down to purchasing. And I said, "There's your new computer." And I pointed to it on the desk. He said, "What's this?" I said, "This guy, everybody has to sign off in order of seniority. This guy has to sign off before he hands it to the," and everybody else is going, "Shh," before he hands it to that guy, before he hands it to that guy. And there's six people who all have to sign up. Now, this guy's on vacation for 2 weeks. The day he comes back, this guy's gone. The day he comes back, that guy's gone, because they also take vacation in order of seniority. My boss then made a rude comment, grabbed his thing, walked to the next guy and says, "Sign this or leave." The guy signed and said, "We're changing the purchasing rules right now. This is the only signature we need." He handed it to me. He says, "When can I have it?" I said, "I will walk it to your desk tomorrow." He said, "Okay." But that happens too. And your stuff is in that same kind of queue. Nobody's in a rush to help you compete with them.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of the market dynamic that's going to happen when you're relying on a competitor to do something. And that's, you know, you go back and you look at the early days of phone competition and things like that. If you're relying on or even where we are with the electric competition, if you're relying on a competitor to do
right.
something for you to make you more successful, well, we all know how that story is going to end.
Right, right, right. All right, we're going to take a quick break. If you're on the line, please stay on the line. We will get to your phones and calls in the next segment. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Mark Murphy, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 19 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That's right. It's Soundbites on the truly great and solely member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Mark Murphy.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we have Mark from Greece, New York on the line. Hi, Mark. What's up?
Hi, guys. One quick thing, well, two quick things. One thing is talking about speed. Back about 6 or 7 weeks ago, I got an email from Spectrum, and they said, we're increasing your speed, you know. And I was on the 15 megabit plan, which I've been on for a long time. Seems to work good for me, as I've told you in the past. Very rarely slow down. Like I said, I don't know if there's a lot of people on the head end or not in my neighborhood, but right. I get a lot of speed. And they increased me from 15 to 20 at no charge. So they made good on their promise to at least increase the speeds of the former Time Warner customers. I haven't switched over to be a Spectrum customer yet. I'm still a legacy customer, so I can't get 60 megabits unless I switch over to them.
Right.
So, but they did increase me from 15 to 20 at no extra charge.
Well, and that's nice. That's a bit frustrating because Time Warner Internet is 40, 45 bucks for 15. Spectrum Internet is 30 bucks for 60.
Right.
But if you switch to Spectrum, there are other services that they don't offer that Time Warner did.
Yeah, but Spectrum, you've got to do a bundle. You just can't get their I don't think you can get just.
Well, the prices are higher if you don't
bundle.
You got a bundle. It's weird how the two companies are nominally the same, but the products they offer are radically different.
Right.
Yeah. If I switch to them, I lose my six-tuner DVR.
Right.
People that have whole home will no longer have whole home.
Right.
DVR. I think that's a real stupid step backwards, and I don't know why they're not offering it because...
Well, because they're going to reoffer it later at more money.
Yeah.
Pay attention.
Instead of a six-tuner DVR...
That's not going to force me to switch over, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Right.
You can have multiple two-tuner DVRs on all of your TVs.
Right.
But it's convenient to have it on the one big one that you want to watch everything
on. Yeah, up to... Yeah, I mean, like, why do I want to watch two shows in my bedroom and two shows in my living room? That makes no sense to me. So I'm not going to switch until they make me switch.
Right.
And then I'm going to go fighting and screaming, you know?
Right. I'm with you. I only want what I want. And I don't need internet because I have green light. I don't need phone because I have a cell phone. So all I want is the channels I want.
And like me, I cut the cable. You know,
right.
It's been a while now, and I love it because I just use my Roku box, and right. I get everything that I was paying a lot more at Spectrum now than I was, you know, because the Roku, the Sling is only $29.99 a month.
Right.
Of course, you know, with my internet speed, but, you know, I live
right.
with that.
Right. That'll change. All right. Thanks, Mark.
Yeah. And the other thing I wanted to bring up really quick, and it happened again while I was on the phone with you. I've gotten 3 phone calls today from AT&T product support saying that, and it happened while I was on hold with you during the commercial, saying that my internet IP address has been compromised. And I need to call them or press 1 to speak to somebody.
Yeah. No,
I wanted to warn people about that.
Good thinking. Good point. Thank you.
Yeah, Mark, yeah. That one's going around, and I've got 2 machines in now right now that they both suffered from the... Oh, Microsoft gave them a call and said that their machine was infected and that they've got to pay... One person was, I think, $150. The other's like over 3-something. And they have to, you know, pay them to get this corrected. And luckily, they had listened to the show and turned around and called me. And I said, bring it on in.
Yeah, the scammers are getting more technical, more gobbledygook, trying to overwhelm you and confuse you into seeing the problems that you have. And they're getting sneakier and sneakier. We had a customer come in this week where the scammers, you know, she gave them remote access because... You know, they said she had a problem. They installed a real version of Norton Antivirus, a trial of Norton Antivirus, to make themselves seem even more legitimate. Mm-hmm. And now what we've been seeing is people who tried to dispute the $300 charge, the bad guys are disputing the dispute, with the credit card company saying, no, we're offering a service. They get a service contract. So it's not fraud. It's, you know, $300 for a service contract. They can call us as many times as they want. And look, we did do service for, so it wasn't fraud. Give us our money back. So, you know, they're getting smarter and sneakier. Oh, yeah.
Well, the other thing, too, is, you know, they'll get you on the phone and they go, can you hear me okay? And they want you to say yes. So if you say yes, they've got that recorded.
They snip that into a...
So, yeah.
They you want to buy all these new services. Yes.
Yes. And they've got you... That's you saying yes. So it's always good if they sit there at any time, folks, you get somebody says, can you hear me okay? Or, you know, wants a yes answer, say, how can I help you? Don't say yes, because that's what they're doing. They're recording that.
I just don't answer the phone if I don't recognize the number.
Yeah.
Oh, I like playing with them.
Yeah.
You want to know how I answer the phone when I get one of those calls?
Oh, yeah. I've done it a couple times.
Hi there. Thanks for calling Soundwave. You're on the air. What's your question? Hello.
Well, I'm going back to the three-tone thing that you advised. I had it till I had to replace my phone system.
Yep.
I'm going to go back and do that again because it seemed to cut these phone calls in half.
Well, what happens is, and this is something I've been advocating for a while as well, that's on my, if I don't answer, that's what happens. If you put, there's those three tones, do-do-do, that you hear when you dial a number that's no longer in service. When you get a robocall as opposed to a human call, if the robocall gets that, they take you out of rotation. For a while, a month, 2 months, 6 months, because they don't make money if they spend time calling out-of-service numbers. So they take you out of rotation. So if you've got those three tones at the beginning of your answering machine message, then the and you have to have the real three tones, which are available online. Just look for them. We actually had a link at one point, I think.
And there's a, in the lower right corner of our website, there's a search box.
Yes.
So I don't want to post the same link we talked about last week.
No, they can search for it.
Yeah.
But it's easy to find on YouTube. That's where I found it.
Yeah. Yep, it's easy to find, and you add it to the beginning of your answering machine message, and bang, you're done.
Yep. So, like people I told, and I've told other people, if that's not your internet service provider, there's no problem. Okay, AT&T is not going to call you when you're on Spectrum.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to call you when you're on Greenlight.
Yep.
You know, so I listened to the message, but I didn't connect anybody because I'm not going to.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
You know, I don't want to hear what they have to say. As much as you like to play with them, I don't tempt fate, and I hang up on them.
Yep, that's the way
you
do it.
So I would advise everybody else, you know, no one's on AT&T in this area anyways.
That's right.
That I know of.
Yep.
So...
All right, thanks, Mark.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, most of our customers are using Macs with Apple software, but Microsoft still calls them, and they let them in because, you know, Microsoft called me. Well, you're not using Microsoft.
Right, right.
Well, that's,
right.
So there's one clue. But it's the age that we all grew up in. You want to be polite. Oh, they must be making a mistake. I better call them and talk to them and say that it's not me.
Right. It's nice to be nice. Yeah. We've always said that. All right. Back to the phones. Our next caller is Gary, also from Greece, New York.
Hello.
Hi, Gary. What's up?
I'm having trouble with Thunderbird version 52.2. It seems like every time I delete my messages, it comes up with the not responding for a long time. I've tried to disable my add-ons. Somebody also mentioned that maybe Lightning, the calendar, might cause that, but it seems like all the add-ons that I disabled, it's not responding.
Yeah, who is your mail provider?
Frontier.
Well, yeah, that's a large part of your problem right there. They're not fast.
And they're using Yahoo as their back-end mail provider, so you have to get in queue with a billion other users. Do you know if you're using POP or IMAP?
POP.
So it should only be So are you deleting it from your computer or from the server?
From my Thunderbird.
Right. It is likely.
Do disk check FSCK?
Yeah. There are a couple of things you should try. One is to do a disk check. A check disk.
Check disk. Windows, yeah. Right.
Right. It's from a command line. You type CHKDS. Hi, how are you? You type all lowercase CHKDSK, which is short for check disk.
What version of Windows is he running?
Oh, right. What version are you on?
Well, this 10.
Yeah, this works on 10 as well as all the rest of them.
That, check disk in that is in the maintenance.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, if you go down to the programs and you look at maintenance, in maintenance there's the clean disk. It's one of the utilities built into 10.
Check disk for errors.
Yeah.
It's
a built-in one.
I've done that.
If you've checked your disk for errors and you're sure you don't have any sort of viruses, that is to say you're running the Security Tango, then the issue has to be at the other end. Or you have a disk that's failing, but if you've run check disk and it doesn't give you any errors, then it is more likely to be a problem with, in this case, really Yahoo.
Is the rest of your internet working okay as far as your browser and all that type of stuff?
Yes.
Okay.
Is it a corrupt profile?
Now, you've run Super Anti-Spyware and Malware Bytes?
Not Super, but Malware Bytes, yes.
Yeah, get Super Anti-Spyware. Here's the problem. We put up both programs. And the reason we put up both programs is because no one program does it all. And you definitely want Super Anti-Spyware. Matter of fact, I just did a scan on a machine, and if you want to compare, and this machine was really infected. Malware Bytes to what Super Anti-Spyware finds. I ran the scan on the Super Anti-Spyware, and on this machine it found 3,232 Trojans. I got rid of those. Then I go on to Malware Bytes, and that found 75. See, because they both look at different things. So you want to get Super Anti-Spyware and run that, because you could have some other bad cookies or that type of stuff in there that could be blocking things.
Okay.
There's also a Thunderbird database. It's a SQL database of all your messages. That database can get corrupted. So when you're searching for messages, trying to delete messages, things can not work properly. There is a way where you delete that database and let it build another one. I just posted a link on how to do that.
Okay,
in your Thunderbird profile folder is the global message database.
Okay, good. All right.
And that can help that problem too.
All right, thanks, guys. You're the best.
All right, thank you so much. It's the real problem is nobody wants to do email anymore. It's a pain in the neck. And there are companies like Gmail and Yahoo and other places that offer free. And so why should any local? So you guys don't offer anything like that, and why should you?
Yeah, if you ever switch your email provider, you need to tell everyone your new email address, and that's a pain. It's worse than changing your postal address.
Right, which is why I always tell people don't use your internet service provider as your email address, because you can get a free account somewhere else that will never ever change.
My email predates Google, though.
Does it?
Yeah,
you're AOL.
I had an AOL address. I was a charter member of AOL. I was a charter member of Roadrunner.
Yeah. I was a charter member of CompuServe.
I was on Delphi. CompuServe cost too much. I was on Delphi.
Yep.
And Genie. Yeah.
Oh,
and
yeah,
Genie, right?
That.
And the Well. And nobody remembers the Well. Anyway, in terms of that's well, Steve is dying.
I was going to say. We'll just slide Mark over.
Yeah, we'll just slide Mark over and nobody will notice.
You going to live?
Maybe.
You all right there?
Maybe.
Maybe. The basic issue here is that everybody these days offers a free email service. So you might as well take advantage of it, because it means that you can get your mail no matter where you are. You can get your mail no matter who your service provider is. And when you use somebody like Gmail and others, you can download all your mail if you want to do that. You can archive it. With Google, you get, 15 gigabytes for free?
Yeah.
And it's real easy to make a second address or an alias or something for, you got to create an account to log into this one website. you know, to post on a forum or to buy this one thing, and you're never going to do anything with them again. But you have to give them your email address and get on their junk mail list.
That's what
So you make a throwaway address.
I just convinced my wife finally to do, because she had an old Gmail account, and I had her sign up for a new one. And she goes, "Well, what do I do with this old one?" I go, "You use that as when you're going to these other sites and they require an email address, and it's a junk one." Oh. That's good.
Well, here's a
Google
here's
is
a
really
trick.
Good at blocking junk mail compared to the
They're
other
amazing.
Services.
But here's a trick. I have a Gmail account that I won't mention the name of that I use for all of that. And if you – let's say it was hello@gmail.com. I'll tell you about this when we come back. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Mark Murphy, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 39 minutes after the hour. It is Soundbites. It is the truly great and solely member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Mark Murphy.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and yes,
cranked up my audio too.
We have Mr. Mark Murphy, who is.
Let me explain. When I do this one, that
goes to everybody.
Oh,
yeah.
Then you folks can sit there and turn yours down.
Right. We have Mark Murphy, who is the founder and president of Greenlight Networks, bringing fiber to the home for as much of the world as he can manage at once. And if you want to give us a call and talk to him, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. Let me ask you a question, Mark. With the death of net neutrality, how is that affecting the various internet service providers? I realize it's brand new, but how do you see that affecting them and you down the road?
You know, just kind of two different things. From our standpoint, we maintain subscriber and customer privacy pretty rigorously, and we made the decision early on that we're not selling customer data, we're not doing those types of things. And you know, the other piece of it is that we are I think our goal, we're not prioritizing traffic any differently. We've always kind of been pretty transparent about those issues. I think that the concern, at least as I saw it before, was that you had the cable companies in particular that were trying to protect their video content.
Right.
And keep that separate and making it tougher for people to get to Netflix and those other things. I think as you continue to see these streaming services come out, and, you know, even in the Wall Street Journal this morning, Google's president, I think, was quoted talking about how they're actually in their Google Fiber installations. A lot of people are just bringing their own video. So they're getting their over-the-top video from whatever provider they want. And that was something that we kind of decided early on that, you know, we couldn't provide a video service that was going to be differentiated or certainly better than what some of the big guys would be able to do, one, because content is so expensive and all the other things you need to do to support that. And I think now what we're seeing is the proliferation of some very good quality streaming video options out there. So like you were saying before, you can get whatever you want. No differently, it's the same as email. It's the same as all these other services. So we want to provide really good bandwidth to allow people to use the internet and all these services however they want to. So for us, it really hasn't changed anything. I think, you know, a lot of times these regulations have many unintended consequences. So, you know, if our network engineers tell us, look, you know, 70% of our traffic is going to Netflix, and we want to do some things to improve that experience for our customers, I'd like to be able to do that without having to go to the FCC and ask permission.
Right.
But that also doesn't mean that, you know, we're going to – I think consumers are pretty smart these days, and so – you know, we try to differentiate ourselves by being really transparent and by letting people kind of give people a choice. So if Time Warner or any of the other competitors out there want to make it more difficult for people to access these other sites, they will. I think, you know, a lot of the noise, too, comes from the Googles and the other providers that, frankly, are the biggest beneficiaries of the internet. And they're the ones that are making all kinds of money through these services. So, you know, they certainly don't want to be cut out by the internet service provider. But, you know, I think, you know, from our standpoint, nothing changed before or after this ruling.
Right, right, right. But for other companies who may provide some form of content, as in your television programs or your movies or whatever, they may at some point decide, well, people are dumping us for Netflix, so let's slow down Netflix.
Right. Or, you know, I think the other thing that's interesting is you look at what's going on in the wireless world and AT&T's acquisition of DirecTV. And
right.
So, you know, you've got some of these wireless providers that are saying, I'll give you my product for free. You don't have to pay to watch that. You don't have to pay to watch DirecTV now, and that's not going to cost go against your data. But if you've got Verizon and you try and do that, you're going to be on the clock. So is that a horrible thing or not? I don't know. I mean, from a consumer standpoint, it gives me the ability to kind of make some choices.
Right.
And it's a tough sell for consumers. For, you know, say AT&T, you know, lets you watch Vimeo for free. Oh, cool, I get Vimeo for free. You don't think about then you have to pay extra for YouTube.
Right.
Where, and say, T-Mobile gives you YouTube for free, but you have to pay extra for Dailymotion.
Yeah.
And so that's the fear, is that these, you know, YouTube is, you know, kind of the big guy who started all this. And if there were, you know, less neutrality then than we're facing now, we might not have these types of video streaming programs where if so, even us as Soundbites, we're streaming on the internet. If we had to pay every internet provider to carry us, so we have to pay Comcast so people who live in California can hear us. We have to pay, you know, mm-hmm. Bright House for people who live in Florida to hear us. That would be horrible for us.
Right. Now, here's a couple of interesting statistics, however. In an average month, 8 out of 10 18 to 49-year-olds, which is the demographic everybody wants, 8 out of 10 of them watch YouTube. 300 hours of video are uploaded to YouTube every minute. Every minute, 300 hours are uploaded. That's a lot of content. And there are a lot of people watching it. Everybody has their favorite channels, whether you're into makeup or building things or 3D printing or guns or chickens or ducks. I don't care what it is. The point is there's YouTube channels that are there for you. And those hundreds of hours, somebody's watching them all the time.
Well, that's where, again, like I said, with the Roku box, and the services that they provide there, you know, being able to sign up for whether it's Amazon, supposedly later this year, is going to be expanding their services and what they provide as far as links to it. Like right now I use Sling. And right now with Sling, I get all the channels that I had plus than I had with the old cable company. And you know, I'm paying a heck of a lot less.
But if you were trying to get that on the cable provider,
oh, it costs me more.
But they might say we're going to slow that down.
Oh yes, definitely.
Because it's a redundant service, we might even block it.
Yeah.
Now that net neutrality is gone.
Well, and then they keep saying, you know, and the other thing that really got me ticked off was, you know, you had to buy, you know, they'd sit there and say, well, we're going to give you all these channels. Well, I don't want all of those. With, you know, these other packages that are out there, like the YouTube and the Sling and the Amazon and all that, you can look at their packages, and even within that, they offer others. You know, you can select and pick and choose what group of channels you want, and it's very reasonable.
Yeah. There are two websites. One is called incognitube.com. It's a random bunch of YouTube videos with fewer than 100 views. And then there's another one called astronaut.io, and it shows you a random selection of YouTube videos with no views, with zero views, which means that obviously as soon as somebody watches it, it drops off the list. But because 300 hours are being uploaded every minute, there's a lot of YouTube videos with zero views.
Yeah.
And most of it, it's just so weird. What people upload, just so weird. And, of course, it's catch-as-catch-can, so it may not be safe for work because, you know, Google doesn't want you to upload those things and tries to prevent it, but sometimes they don't catch it instantly. So if somebody uploaded something like that and then you watched it, or it might be something you don't care for, like you don't want to watch gun videos. You might catch one because somebody just uploaded it. It's got zero views. You saw it.
One other thing I think we should have Mark explain, because, you know, I'm sure, you know, you're getting hit probably all the time. You know, I signed up for it, and I see you're in my area. Why is it taking so long? Now, as I understand it, there are numbers that you've got to make it. Like we said before, you know, to bring a crew into that area, there's got to be a need. And what's your whole focus around that as far as, you know, once you get in an area, how many folks you actually need in an area, say, to actually start stringing line and that type of stuff?
The biggest thing in terms of it just
or the whole scope.
It comes down to cost largely.
Oh,
so
yeah,
if it's
an
area that is largely aerial, those are less expensive than ones that we've got to go underground and dig. The other thing, we talked about pole attachments and how that extends the time. The other thing that takes time is, you know, there's a lot of neighborhoods like yours, for instance, that have, you know, they may have a lot of telephone poles or utility poles in the backyard. So
right.
You're looking out there saying, well, my neighborhood's is all above ground. But if you drive around and you look at the roads, like I've got this terrible habit of doing now, you look up in the air as you're going around the roads. And there are no, for the most part in Rochester now and most of the suburbs, even if there's backlot utility poles, you've got to go underground to get from one backyard to the next or one.
That was my neighborhood.
Exactly. So for us to do that, generally speaking, we've got to get a private easement from one of your neighbors where it's a location that our contractors can get their drill through and do the work. But a lot of times that probably adds months and months and months to the process because we've got to get somebody that's in the cases where it's our customer, it's pretty easy to do, and those things move along pretty quickly. But if it's the person down the road that's never heard from us, but that's the best place for us to cross and the most efficient, because it's pretty simple math. The farther we've got to go with the drill, the more expensive it gets for us.
Right.
And you know, all of our construction, we use local contractors to do that kind of work. And so we try to make those, you know, the shorter those spans are, the less people we need in the neighborhood to make it work. So it ends up being a pretty interactive process to say, all right, our initial design is we need 100 customers maybe to make it work. But now we get in there and we realize, well, instead of doing it 100 feet, we've got to drill 500 feet, or we've got to do some of these other things that pop up.
Oh, yeah,
so now maybe we need 120.
Yeah, it's all tied to numbers. And I think a lot of folks don't understand that because, you know, they sit there, well, it's in here. Like you said, you've got to be able to justify, you know, your crew paying them and the cost of the materials. I mean, it's all
right. And then, the other thing is just, the time involved and stuff. But then the other thing we run into in some neighborhoods, and we may have run into it in yours, Nick, where we intended to build out the whole neighborhood, but there may be a little donut hole in the middle that we didn't get to, and many times that's just because we weren't able to get an easement to get into that part of the property. And so, you know, eventually we've got to go on to other neighborhoods and move forward.
Oh, but, sure.
And many times we've gone back and built those out when we've gotten the permission to go into those areas. But that's a common question we get, like, hey, you're doing my whole neighborhood. Why didn't you do my block? Well, that's why.
I understand. We had, the folks at Greenlight, you know, have door hangers and stuff they'll send you. And I was sitting on my porch one day on Greenlight with my Chromebook. And a guy comes up to my steps and he says, have you ever heard of Greenlight? Yeah. He says, well, here's blah, blah, blah. And he starts all speech. So wait a minute. I said, where do you live? He said, I live right there. I said, we've already got it. He went, what? I said, I'm on it right now. He started to scream. Screamed all the way home. About 3 days later, he called me back. He says, it's great. Thank you so much. I called them and they were, it's already here. It's already on my pole. They just had to activate me. He said, I'm loving it. Thanks. Okay, good. I can't believe you didn't go on the website because you have a thing. You put in your address and it'll tell you if they're in your neighborhood.
Right.
I can't tell you how many times people have said to me, boy, I wish I could get it. I said, well, check. And they check, and it's like, oh, my God, I'll call tonight.
Yeah, and we're doing some things to the website over the next few weeks that'll provide better mapping capabilities and make it more interactive for folks to see where they are and how the neighborhood's doing.
It's the number one thing I hear. I'm sure you do too.
Yes.
I don't understand what the Redwood neighborhood is.
Right.
And I'm sure that makes perfect sense to you and all of your people, but we're like, man, I don't know.
Yeah, and strangely, it's tough to find common nomenclature for a lot of the neighborhoods or subdivisions around town. And the other challenge becomes, you know, what the demarcation point is of all those places.
Right, right. And I can understand it. I mean, I'm in the Upper Monroe neighborhood, but that's a very big area.
Right.
And you're probably not doing the whole thing at once. You have to demarcate it in some other way. I get that.
Right, because, yeah, Upper Monroe, you've got Route 31 going right through the middle of it.
Right.
And so, you know, right. Things like state roads can always be a bit challenging to cross.
I don't doubt that.
Yes.
But yeah, so there's you have your challenges. I'm very, you know, on the one hand, we're thinking, geez, and crackers, string a piece of fiber up on a pole and shut up.
Yeah. Well, it made Google blink.
Yeah.
It's a tough
Think
business.
About that. Think about that. That's exactly right. All right, listen, that music tells us you've wasted a perfectly good hour with this nonsense, but we're going to give you the chance to do it again. So stay where you are. We're going to take a slightly longer break, and then we will be back with a whole nother hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. It's Dave Enright. It's Steve Ray. It's Mr. Mark Murphy. It's me, Nick Francesco, and it's you. And it's 59 minutes after the hour, and it's Sound Bites, and it's the truly great and solely member-supported Jazz 90.1. We will see you on the other side.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
This is 90.1 WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District and official media partner of this year's Xerox Rochester International Jazz Festival. Jazz 90.1.
On Twitter at 901Jazz.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Mark Murphy.
And at 4 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. And once again, for those of you just tuning in, Mark Murphy, the heck is that? Well, it turns out that Mr. Mark Murphy is both the founder and president and chief cook and bottle washer at Greenlight Networks, who provides fiber to the home, and we've asked him to be here today to talk about things like net neutrality and all that stuff. But I know you're going to have questions about Greenlight itself.
Which we've been talking about for
Which we've been
quite
talking
a
about
while.
For years. I've had it for 2.5 years now.
And I've been harassing you all that time.
All that time, and I've been lording it over you for that. So don't hurry to get his neighborhood. That's all I'm saying. I will say that in 2.5 years, it has gone out twice. Once, it was a blackout of our neighborhood. Maybe I shouldn't count that one. And one time I think somebody backhoed your fiber line, I'm pretty sure was it. But in 2.5 years, two very short. The blackout was pretty long. But I shouldn't count that one. So
yeah,
one,
no, you can't.
Really, one very short blackout. And I was twitching by the time. I came back. Holy cow. If I didn't have arthritis, I would have sat and played the banjo for a few hours. I used to do that, but not so much anymore. But we have Mark here, and he's going to be answering your questions as well. But we're going to go right to the phones. We have Doug from Holly, New York on the line. Hiya, Doug. What's up?
Oh, hello. Good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon. What's your question?
I got a question, and I think Steve probably be able to help me with. I have an iMac that runs 10.9. I'm having some issues with iPhotos.
What sort of issues?
I get an unexpected quit when I try to access the photos.
Do you know how big your photo library is?
As far as megabits, no. I think it's about over 9,000 pictures.
Yeah, sometimes there can be something went wrong in the photo library, and rebuilding the library can fix it. Depending on what version you have, rebuilding has different keys.
I got 9.4 on the iPhoto. 9.4.3.
Okay, I think that is option and command. Hold
on. I didn't interrupt. I tried that. I also got to another test. I created a new library and put a photo in it. And when I open up iPhoto, you see the menu on the side says events, photo spaces, and so forth. By default, it shows events. And all the pictures show there. When you select photos, that's when you get to hang. Or if you try to open up one of the photos in events. And it did that with the new library also.
That's unusual. Usually a new library file shouldn't have an issue like that.
Bad spot on the disk?
Could be, yeah. Run disk utility to do the repair permissions and repair disk options to see if there's a problem
there. Too.
Part of the problem is that iPhoto was discontinued several years ago, so there's not much you can do in the way of upgrades unless you move up to a newer OS and the newer Photos app.
Yeah, okay.
Were 9.4. There was a 9.5, but I think that's only for Yosemite.
Right. I think what I have to do is upgrade the OS to get to the next iPhoto version.
Right. It's possible you could reinstall that. Now, was iPhoto pre-installed on your computer, or did you install it from an iLife disk?
It's about a 9-10 year old computer, so it's got a long history. I'm not positive. Pretty sure iPhoto came out of one version or another came out when we bought it.
Yeah,
but it's probably been upgraded since then because that's not the original OS. And how about what are my likelihood, what's the likelihood of being able to transfer this library to another Mac?
Very easy, yes. Just one file, drag it to another Mac, see if it works on the other Mac.
We have to drag all the pictures too, right?
It's a single library file. It's a package, Apple calls it. It's one file, that's the entire library.
Wow. So
like a suitcase.
Like a suitcase.
Yeah, they used to call it suitcase,
which
you right?
used to have for fonts, right.
Yep.
Okay, so that would be in the user?
In the user folder, in the pictures folder, is the default location, so unless you moved it somewhere else, it should be in there.
Okay.
That's one thing to try. Try a different username. You can create a separate username on that computer and copy the file there. That will let you know whether it's a user-level issue or a system-level issue, or copying the file to a different computer and trying it there, too.
Okay.
Now, you do have to be careful. If you open it in a newer version of iPhoto, then that new file won't open in the old version again.
Okay. So if I transfer it to another computer with a newer version, then it's hit or miss, yes, if it's going to work or not. But it won't work in the old version any longer?
Right.
Okay. So if I just did a copy...
Yeah, copy it to another computer, and then if it doesn't work, you still have the copy on your main computer.
Okay. All right. Yep. Yeah, this is like pictures forever.
Yeah.
It's kind of like getting on everybody's nerves here. I meant to call you guys a couple weeks ago and haven't been able to. And when's Mr. Murphy going to get some green light out in Holly?
Way out in the middle of nowhere, no.
I would say the best bet is that if you check out our website and get your address in and get your neighbors to do it, we're going through some pretty aggressive expansion over the last year. We're going to continue to do it. So we'd love to hook up everybody in the listening area.
Okay. That sounds good. All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Have a good afternoon.
You too. Thanks so much. Mark, I have a question. I was thinking about this the other day as I was wandering around the city with my Chromebook. Have you guys given any thought at all to wireless?
We have. And actually, I was at a broadband conference earlier this week, and that topic came up quite a bit. I think with Wi-Fi, that can become a difficult animal to manage, and that's one of the reasons we haven't done it in the homes yet. much less outdoor. We do some common area stuff in some of the larger buildings that we've hooked up. We haven't actually. We just did a job for the Midtown Eats project, so we're providing some free Wi-Fi for them in outside of Tower 280. So we're dabbling in a little bit. It's a tougher thing to support, and because the speeds are not as consistent, we're very sensitive to that. So we're all about providing a consistent, very good experience
reliable.
For our customers.
And, something that's reliable.
Yeah.
Right. And that's great because that's what people want. And like you say, you don't want to, especially a new company, get people ticked off of you right out of the box. Right.
Well, I will say that I use half a dozen different speed testers, mostly speedof.me. And it doesn't matter. I can do it at 2 in the afternoon, at 2 in the morning, any time of day or night, 7, 8 at night. It doesn't matter. I'm within 1%, sometimes 2%, of the same number every single time. So you guys are rock solid.
Great. We're trying.
I'll tell you the truth. But I was thinking about that because, you know, every once in a while you go somewhere where there's no free Wi-Fi. And if I were a Time Warner customer, I could sign up for their not particularly fast but usable service. And have, you know, TWC Wi-Fi hotspots. And I thought, well, it'd be lovely if you guys did that. And you're on the poles. And of course, in my very simple world, you're already on the poles. So why don't you just throw up a mesh network? And I realize it doesn't work that way at all in the real world. I do get that. But it is, it's just something I was wondering about.
It's also called time and money.
Well,
time
yeah.
And money is important. And you know, we've looked at some of the millimeter wave technology to get building from building and do some of those things, but there are still a lot of environmental issues that can get in the way of that, and it's the radios still are not terribly inexpensive,
right?
And it requires some different engineering skills on our side, and again, from a support standpoint, it can be tougher. And right now, you know, we've got a pretty significant amount of people that want to get our service, so we're just trying to put all.
Well, our I say you're
there.
Probably right. Well, because you're all. Correct me if I'm wrong. It's like you're mainly a lot on the east side of the city. You haven't even touched over in Greece and Ogden and Gates and all that area yet. So, I mean, you're still in the infancy stages of growing your company. And like I said, folks, you know, bottom line, what he's bringing to Rochester also means employment. Because down the road, as you expand and keep growing, that's going to, you know, ask for more folks to, you know, have jobs and contribute to the company, especially with the way, you know, this economy is. That's great that you can provide that service too. I mean, so it's a win-win all the way around. And like I say, down the road, you're still going to have to do maintenance and everything else, especially if you wind up throughout the whole city. And that's great. I mean, being a small business person myself, I love it, you know, when I can see somebody else, not some big corporate conglomerate, you know, like the others, like you to come in and take the risk, because literally you did. I mean, you know, going in there and just slowly starting it out and getting there, it's monumental.
Thank you. And, you know, we did move our headquarters to Rochester. We're on University Ave now. And we've doubled, not just in our customer base every year, but we've doubled our employee size every year. And we've added, I think we're now up to about a half a dozen different contractors that we use, companies that we use to do our installation work and to work on the poles and underground. And we're looking to continue to do that. We've outsourced some engineering just to try and keep up with the amount of jobs we're trying to get out.
Well, that's a good problem to have. And, you know, we all, the three of us here, like Nick said, we're geeks. And, you know, Steve and I and, you know, the rest of the folks out there, you know, hope, you know, you can keep expanding that much more, because for what you offer and for the price, folks should really go to your website and check it out. And as I did, you know, sign up for it so that when you do get into that area, you'll get a notification that, oh, yep, they're in your area and ready to go. So, and you won't be disappointed. That's for sure, folks. Tell me, because I keep rubbing it into Mr. Francesco.
I just had a friend text me.
You got one?
I have a friend.
Okay.
And she's a lady, quite a lady. And she texted me about when are they coming to a Rondacoin. And then she says, woohoo, I just found this site and I'm in luck. Bye-bye, Spectrum. Thanks. P.S. I'll never again text during your show.
Yeah, we've got quite a deployment in Irondequoit now. We'll be expanding there. We're doing a lot of expansion in the city of Rochester and in the Culver Road.
Well, like I say, if you need a tunnel, there's my yard. Head north.
Well, I think you did that for my neighbor when you first came in. I think you got an easement from him to go up the side of his driveway, and I'm pretty sure that he made the deal that he would get X amount of free service for that. But that was very early days. I'm sure you don't do that so much anymore.
Well, usually for those folks, we'll give them a free install and
yeah, that was it. It was just free install.
Yeah. And it's pretty non-invasive. I mean, we clean the guys are pretty. It's actually kind of neat. It's a directional drill, so it digs about a 2-inch hole underground, and they just have to dig a big enough hole on either side to get the drill out or to pull the conduit up. But it's not a big huge trench that goes through somebody's yard. It's pretty non-invasive.
Well, I took a picture, which is how I know it was January of 2015, because it's not like I wrote that date down. Oh my God, green light, dear diary. I went back like 2 days later to take pictures of the trench. It was gone. I knew where I was standing is where the trench was. Yeah. But you guys had finished and cleaned up and done and gone, and it was great. It was very nicely done. Very nicely done all the way around.
Yeah, we're lucky. We've got some really good contractors that are doing work for us, and we've got a good team that kind of goes around and works with them to do all those setups.
That's good. Like I say, it's just great all the way around, especially to add some competition, because I can remember back when Nick kept begging for files. Begging for files.
I was begging.
Yeah, he kept, and that's the whole trouble. You know, these other corporations just try to, get, we're talking about how Google was going to come in and offer free internet. Remember that? What was mm-hmm. that, a couple years ago?
Yep.
They were going to come in and do it. But again, you get the Time Warners and the other providers, and they just sort of push that out the door, and you're not getting in here.
Well, and it certainly depends on your household. At the time that you guys came into my neighborhood, there was my wife who was, watching Roku, watching Netflix, and doing whatever the hell she does on Facebook. Farmville, Storyville, whatever it is. I'm watching a different movie on Roku and downloading the next Linux thing. My daughter is watching a movie on Roku and Skyping with friends. I needed fast internet. Oh, I'm sorry. I did not hear the music. Like I said, I can't hear things. Back in just a couple of minutes, Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Mina Francesco, and you, 19 minutes after the hour. Soundbites. Oh, Mark Murphy, Soundbites, member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Mark Murphy.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we have Rich from Irondequoit on the line. Hi, Rich. What's up?
Hi, guys. Good afternoon. Calling in concerns with this green light stuff, and yes, I would like some better speeds and things like that, but currently my setup runs, Spectrum modem to a wireless router and then out throughout my house. Is getting green light going to make me faster in that application?
Ish. It depends.
Is there something that I would then have to do with the router and
things
like
deal.
That or my wireless router?
Here's the deal. Your wireless router, I'm sorry, you want to, okay.
It's your show.
Yeah, well, don't blame me for this. Your wireless modem is generally going to top out at about 24 megabits per second. I don't care how fast your internet connection is.
Okay.
Your speed to, and it does, so it doesn't matter. You can get the 60 from Spectrum, you can get the gigabit from Greenlight, doesn't matter. Your maximum wireless speed is going to be your maximum wireless speed. But if you have a wired connection, now it depends on the router you have and the card you have in your computer. So if you have so for example, okay, let's take my house.
Okay.
My Chromebooks are always at about 24 megabits per second, give or take. And that's the max. I get 100 megabit from Greenlight. Okay. And my maximum speed on my laptops, my wireless devices in general, tablets, etc., are going to be about 24 megabits per second, again, give or take a little. But I have a gigabit card in my computer and a gigabit Cat 6 cable to my gigabit router. So if I paid for gigabit internet, I would get that to my desktop.
Okay, understand.
As it is, I get 100 megabit because I pay for 100 megabit. But I get the full deal on anything that's capable of doing the full deal.
Okay, so I guess some more investigative reporting to me, because mostly what I do here is me and my wife have laptops and do the wireless thing, and there's really nothing hardwired other than the hardwire that runs from the router from the router to the wireless router.
But
and I also have a Chromecast, which again is, you know, through the wireless and stuff like that. Nothing else really hardwired around the house.
But now we have to talk about bandwidth in terms of how much stuff you can do at once.
Okay.
Again, now there's speed and there's bandwidth, which is really not the speed. It's how many things you can do simultaneously. And like I said, even though my wife's Roku is wireless, her laptop is wireless, my daughter's Roku was wireless, her laptop was wireless, my Roku was wireless, and the only thing that was wired was my desktop.
Okay.
We were all able to do everything we wanted to as fast as we wanted to without anybody bumping into anybody else, because the bandwidth is good.
Now, that may help better with streaming something on the TV while I'm on my laptop.
Exactly.
Doing something else, right. So you can kind of think of the internet as oversimplistically, but you split it by the number of people.
Right.
So if you've got 10 megabit internet and 10 people are doing something, they each only get one megabit.
Ish. But for example, my daughter actually lives in Arizona. But when she's home, she has friends, and they watch television together.
While they're on their phones doing other video things.
Right. Yeah. So she's watching something on the Roku while she's Skyping with friends.
Right.
No slowdown. No problems whatsoever. When I use Skype generically in this particular case, thank you, Microsoft. They could be on Hangouts, they could be on whatever, right? That's not the point.
Right.
But when I'm Skyping with someone, if there's a glitch, you know, the thing freezes or it jitters or, you know, whatever, pixelates, that's their end. I know that.
Right.
Yes, you're certainly, there's no magic. So you can buy gigabit from Greenlight, and I promise you, you're not going to get gigabit speeds on your laptop.
Right.
Right.
I probably can almost guarantee that myself. Right.
Right. Right. Right. So that you know, there's no magic here.
Right.
But what there is elbow room.
Okay.
So anything that's wired will be as fast as you're paying for.
Okay.
Assuming you have. You'd want to have, if you're going to get gigabit, you got to match, right? So you'd want, if you're going to get gigabit from Greenlight, you want a gigabit router and a gigabit card in your desktop.
Now, I guess another question is, does Greenlight provide that equipment when they come into your house?
So we provide what we call an optical network terminal, which is similar to a cable modem. So it'd be the same setup that you're getting with Time Warner or Spectrum today. And then you would still be using your own wireless device or whatever to hook up to that.
And I'm sure you guys recommend other wireless devices, too, after that, correct?
There's no rental fee either.
Right. And, yeah, thanks, Steve. So, and with that, yeah, we don't charge a rental fee. It's all included in the price.
Okay.
We do on our website. We've got a list of it's kind of like a good, better, best, and the prices are a little bit different on each of them, of routers that our folks have tested in-house to make sure that everything's working as planned. And the other thing that, you know, obviously, the wireless AC standard right now is very good, and you can get good throughput on that, and you can get multiple users on the same slot. But with the ones that we test, just because it's a gigabit port doesn't mean that you're going to get wire speed, because the firewall or whatever else on that router may not support that same type of speed.
Sure.
But on our website, there is if you go to the support portion of that, there's some additional details on recommended routers.
Oh, I'll have to take a look at that.
Yep.
Because I know I just got a brand new one myself that is working pretty good for me now, but, you know, was just looking into to maybe getting green light someday.
Well, and you know, I'll tell you the other thing. You mentioned rentals and blah, 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 blah. We're hearing a lot about hidden fees now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting the $50 a month green light, 100 megabits up, 20 megabits. Hi, how are you? 100 megabits down, 20 megabits up for $50.
Mm-hmm.
You know what they charge me every month? $50. There's no hidden fees. There's no rental equipment fees. There's no, you know, standing
sports
on my lawn fee.
Sports package surcharge that you don't watch sports.
Right, the sports package surcharge for sports I don't watch.
Right.
When they say $50, they ain't kidding. And that's just a beautiful, beautiful thing.
And there's
thing.
No long-term contract, correct?
There's no long-term. I could call them tomorrow if I had some sort of embolism. I could call them tomorrow and say, I don't want this anymore.
Unless or you want to go to divorce court.
Right, right, right. Or I could call them tomorrow and say, I want to go up to a gigabit. Okay, we'll start giving you a gigabit. We'll charge you whatever this is, $100 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Or I could say I want to go down to 100 megabits. Okay, we'll stop charging you 100. We'll start charging you 50. It's ridiculously simple. It is, in fact, as near as I can tell off the top of my head, it's the only bill I get every month that says, here's what you owe, $50. Here's what you paid, $50. We're done.
Yeah, kind of like your Verizon bill where there's like 75 lines of other things you owe for.
Miscellaneous charges.
Yeah. Yes.
It drives me nuts. And each month you go up a buck or down a buck.
Right.
Well, that way they can say your rate didn't go up, which is technically true. The best kind of true. Yeah.
Right. The best kind of true. But yeah, so I'm telling you, I admit I'm thrilled. I admit,
all right. Well, thank you very much for the information. I'll do a little bit more digging on my end and looking around, but I did sign up so that I can find out when at least they're in my area.
Perfect.
All right.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Can you comment, Mark, about the dark fiber I keep hearing about, that there's a lot of fiber run in the city that no one's using?
So that's, I think we hear a lot of times, that's with the county's fiber that they largely deployed for the public safety use. Right now, I think they would have to somehow find a way to unwind that out of the current structure, because I think legally they would certainly be challenged by a number of the folks like the Spectrums, like the Frontiers, that wouldn't want that dark fiber to go out on the market. And I think with the laws of New York State, they really couldn't be a provider for that. But that said, they may kind of look to unwind that or to spin that off to a private entity at some point. That's not a conversation we've been involved in at all.
But
could it help us grow? Yeah, absolutely it could.
Well, it would seem to me that if I were the city and I wanted to do that, I would find a local provider of fiber who's already well-versed in how to use that to the best advantage of everyone.
Sure.
Just off the top of my head.
Yeah. Well, I think what you know, when you look around the country, there's a lot of places that have taken a run at this, and it doesn't go well, because I think the consultant comes out and says, here, if you spend this money, you get this network and everything's great.
Yeah.
But then what they forget is you got to actually run and operate this thing. You got to do customer service.
Well, that's why if I were the city, I would partner with a person who was already familiar with running fiber. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Steve from Greece, New York. What's up, Steve?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. And I use the term loosely.
Very.
I have an Android question and a question for Mark, if
yes.
I may. I needed to transport some data, sheets of paper that were very sensitive. I decided to take photographs of them, turn off my Wi-Fi on my phone, turn off the data, take photographs, transport it, use it, bring it back, and then delete the photos.
Sure.
Then turn my Wi-Fi back on. When I went to turn my Wi-Fi back on, my Wi-Fi was already back on.
Oh, interesting.
And obviously, the reason I did all of this was to make, you know, I don't like giving access to my photos to these different apps, but I understand that's a price I need to pay. And I didn't think of going to airplane mode. I presume that would have done everything I needed.
That would have done everything you needed, yes. I was about to say that.
But how did my Wi-Fi get turned on my Android phone when I did not turn it back on?
Any one of 100 different ways. Some apps, when you give them permission to use Wi-Fi, and I forget if it's Facebook or Twitter, notoriously does this. If they decide they want, one of the things that you do when you give them access, you know, you get a laundry list of the things you can do.
Yeah.
That it wants access to. One of the things you've given it is control over Wi-Fi. And so if it feels like it's time to go look for, you know, the next 100 likes you got, it will do so.
Now, there is a way in Android to look at what apps have what permission to do what,
yes.
Right?
Yes, you can do that on a per application basis under settings applications and turn off sometimes what you don't want. Android has never, well, 7 is better, but Android has never been as granular as the Mac has as to what you're allowed to do and what you're not allowed to do. But so what essentially happened was that something, and it may have been any one of 100 apps, I don't know your phone, turned Wi-Fi back on. Now, you may have those photos in Google Photo.
Oh, shit. Even if they were put in after I came back on again, I gotta say. Okay.
So what you can do is go into Google Photo and delete them from there. It will then delete them from every device, of every other of your devices.
Okay.
So if it's still on your phone, it'll delete them from there, et cetera, et cetera. If you accidentally copied it somewhere else, it'll delete them from there. So those photos will be gone if you delete them from via photos.
And then you might want to go into your application list and turn off permission to access photos, to access Wi-Fi, to access other things. Just for everyone in general, take a look at your permission list and see what you gave permission what, when. You installed an app 3 years ago to play with for a minute, and you give it permission to do stuff, and you just never got around to deleting it. It still has that permission to do that stuff.
That's right. All right, what was your question about Greenlight?
Okay, quick question. It's photos.google.com?
Photos.google.com, yeah.
Okay. Mark, I do not live in this neighborhood. However, if I were in an extremely affluent neighborhood, could I pay you to come out to our neighborhood?
Well,
my first question is, are you adopting?
I said I don't live there, Nick. I don't live there. Just a curiosity question.
Well, we haven't done that. I don't know that we would do that. But, you know, it's kind of interesting because I think there's a perception that maybe we're just going to the wealthy neighborhoods only, and I think for the most part we've been.
No, you came to my neighborhood. No, trust me.
Well, I realize you need concentrated users. That's the best thing.
Yeah, and when you think about it, the most dense areas in town are probably more of the middle class neighborhoods that we've got out there. So,
right.
And the most expensive places to build are the ones that are all underground, which probably are more the newer builds, and that could be really anywhere.
And they're very, very far apart. But, I mean, if I can afford a $14 million home, I can give you, you know, $500,000 to run the blue
Well, but it's
and
not
you would
just
still need that permission of everyone between here and there, right, to run the wire?
Right, you still have to get the permissions, and it's not just the coming in, it's the staying in. You know, they want a certain number of people to continue to use the service because they're maintaining that service.
Okay, true.
Right, so there, it's not, you know, it's not one and done. It's like buying a new car. You spend X on the car, but you spend Y over the next 10 years maintaining that car.
Yeah. And I just had Time Warner yesterday because my neighbor's tree guys cut my cable.
Oh, dear. All right, Steve, we got to go. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Mark Murphy, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 41 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites. It's member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Mark Murphy.
And at 45 minutes after the hour, yes, it's Mark Murphy from Greenlight Networks Incorporated. And we have our friend Joe from Cheat.
Tawaga, New York.
Hiya, Joe. What do you know? Just got back from Buffalo. What's up?
Yeah, for those who don't know, it's the suburb directly to the east of Buffalo, yes. I would like to put in a word for you mentioned before about not getting email from your internet provider, many reasons to not do that.
Right.
And instead use Gmail or, dare I say, Yahoo or whatever.
Yeah. Right.
I like the flexibility of purchasing my own domain name and then running a mail server for it.
Well, of course, just because you're a geek.
I'm technically oriented. I'm sorry?
You're a geek.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I've done it professionally, so it's a little easier for me, but
right.
Another person who calls in the show every so often, Christian, he runs a Linode, which is a hosting service,
right,
where it's basically a machine out on the internet that you
do whatever you want
set up
with
yourself.
Yep.
But, you know, if you don't want to do that, there's certainly the flexibility of, for example, G Suite. Mentioned Gmail, they have such excellent anti-spam measures. They sell their service that, you know, they'll do mail for you, web hosting, a lot of different things, at a fairly reasonable rate. I mean, it's only like $5 per month for
right.
their service. I think you were going to mention before the one of the breaks, but didn't come to it after, that you can, with Gmail, and several other services, you can use plus notation. So
right. Basically, the idea there is, and we were talking about this earlier, I have one essentially throwaway address. But with Gmail and others, as Joe said, there's plus notation. So I can, let's say it was hello, and I go to Greenlight, and I sign up for stuff, and I don't really ever want to hear from them again. I can say my email address is hello plus Greenlight. @gmail.com, mail will come to me without a problem, and then I go to Enright PC, and I don't want to ever hear from them again, and I can give my address as hello plus Enright @gmail.com, and it will come to me just fine, but I can ignore it, and never have to look at it, it never hits my main address. But,
and
so
you can make a rule that says throw it in this other folder, because, you know,
throw it away.
Yeah, because you have to do that first email loop to respond to the email they sent you to sign up for whatever you wanted to sign up for.
Right.
But then from then on, I don't really need to see.
And what's beautiful about that is I can see who sold my name.
Yeah.
And I see that pretty regularly. Having the ability, getting a throwaway email address, and it really doesn't matter what that email address, it could be gobbledygook@gmail.com, which probably isn't free, Mr. Mixes, look, whoever that guy was in Superman, plus whatever, you know, and then that's the address, and then plus whatever you want for every time you email it out. Thanks for bringing us back to that, Joe.
Yeah, that's kind of what I do with my own domain.
Right.
You know, I would do, you know, well, actually, if you look through the list, you'll see it, soundbites@mysurname.us. And, you know, it basically my idea there was, Spam me once, shame on you. Spam me twice, okay, that address no longer works.
Right,
get
right,
bounced.
Right, and for most people who aren't geeks, doing it through a provider that does plus notation like Gmail means that you can easily set up a throwaway address once and continue to use it as often as you like, in as many ways as you like, in as many places as you like.
Actually, my sister was complaining, oh, I have this one email address that I used for so much, and it gets so much spam these days. Well, that's what I was telling her.
Yep.
You know, go around to the ones that you really want to receive email from. Give them all plus addresses. You don't have to give up that address, but you go through once and change them all to plus addresses.
Right.
And anything else, just, you know, toss in the trash bin. You know, if there's something you really were expecting, you can usually go back into trash and say, oh, yeah, that's not spam, and take it out. And, you know, instruct the mail system, hey, this is just fine.
Yep, and most people don't take advantage of the filtering capabilities that are available in their email service.
Partly, what I find is, I've got filters set up, and then I forget to go look at those other folders. So I just throw everything in the inbox and then delete, 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 delete. So 99% of my inbox is junk, and I delete it anyway.
Right. Well, I use Thunderbird.
But my problem, I'll go delete, 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 delete. Oh, crap, I wanted that one.
Oh, please.
Undelete.
Right. The nice thing about Thunderbird is it'll boldface the folders that have new stuff in them.
Yeah, I've
that
got
have
yeah.
unread stuff
I've
in
got
them.
Like 20 of those.
Yeah.
I'll also say that the green light, quote, gets it, unquote, in this day and age. You know, DOCSIS was made in the days where almost everything was coming down and very little was going up.
Right.
You know, just little tiny requests for web pages, and the web page was the bulk of what you received. But these days, we're backing up to the cloud, so giving people plenty of upstream. Like we're talking right now over 50-50 FIOS, so you know they realize that people are uploading photos and videos and backups these days. So it really is what customers want these days is plenty of upstream bandwidth.
Yep, and for Greenlight, if I wanted to buy a second IP address and put something out on a public internet like a mail server or web server, I can do that.
Right. Yeah, we charge $10 a month for a public IP.
Yeah, so if I wanted to pay $10 a month, I could run a web server, and 20 megabytes up from my web server is a lot of bandwidth. For I suppose unless I'm serving porn, but that's not something we're going to ever do, so that's not a problem. But the point is that for most, you know, unless you're YouTube, 20 meg is a pretty decent speed for most servers.
Well, as usual, thanks very much for your time, gentlemen.
Thanks, Joe. Keep smiling. Yeah, there are a lot of things that people don't take advantage of, particularly in something as ubiquitous as email. There are lots of filters that you can add that will throw away junk automatically so you never even see it. Or if you're using something along the lines of Thunderbird, you can change the colors. So, you know, stuff that comes in from my family is one color. Stuff that comes in from friends is another color. So I can visually look down on my list and see, oh, there's something from my wife. I better answer that first. If I'm, you know, keep mama happy. So you can do a lot of things like that, as well as putting things in folders and throwing away spam, adding people to the trash list, and make it easy on yourself in terms of your internet service. And most, even if you do it through the web service, there's some things that you can do. And so you want to pay attention to that stuff and learn to use your email program proficiently so that you can very easily manage the insanity that is email these days. I mean, it's just nuts. But you guys don't worry about that at Greenlight because you don't do email.
Right, yeah, we keep it easy.
Right. As we said earlier, why not? Why not let the people who want to do email, like Gmail and Yahoo and AOL and everybody else, Microsoft and Apple, let them do it? You know, and all you're providing is bandwidth. Do one thing and do it brilliantly. That's the way it needs to be, you know. A lot of companies that diversified over the last few decades are now divesting themselves of all those other things and going back to doing a core business that they do well, except for Jeff Bezos, who wants to own everything there is to own. All right, that music tells me you've wasted another 2 hours of your life listening to this nonsense. I want to thank Dave Enright. I want to thank Steve Ray. I want to think about why there's a Steve Ray. I want to specifically thank Mark Murphy, who was just kind and generous enough to come and spend a couple hours with us talking about the state of the industry and about Greenlight Networks. Thank you very much, Mark. Very appreciated.
Thanks, Nick. Love the show.
Thank you. I'm Nick Francesco. We'll be back in just 166 hours, a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. And don't go away. George is coming in to play the best German music you'll hear all week. Michael is here to keep him on the straight and narrow. And we'll be back with a whole lot more sound bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you in 166 hours.